this is not the end of this episode of Luke's English Podcast, because in fact I've got some other things to say, but thanks for listening anyway. Right, so yeah, it's not the end of this episode of the podcast, because I've still got some other things to say. In fact, I promised at the beginning of the episode that I would talk to you, specifically those of you out there who are English language teachers, and I think that some of you listen to this podcast, because I just wanted to talk to you about the lying game and how I use it as a teacher in my classes, all right? I think what I'm going to do is just put a PDF download on the page for this episode, which is a sort of a worksheet for the lying game. You can download it and print it and use it in your classes. You're free to do that. If you do use my lying game, it's a very simple game. You might have similar activities yourselves. It's quite a common activity. And as learners of English, maybe you've been in classes before where your teachers have used something similar to that. But I find it to be a successful game. And the format, I've found a winning formula, and it's worked for me. So if you're a teacher of English, then check this out. You might want to use this approach. Just a suggestion, okay? So how do I do the lying game? What level is it appropriate for? Well, I find that I can kind of use the game to some extent with most levels, but really it's about, really you need students who are able to use past simple tense. That's the main thing. Past simple tense, first of all. But the game can be used to practice, present tenses as well for habits. But it's a fairly complicated game, and it works best when the students have a certain level of fluency. And so I would say intermediate, upper intermediate, and above, basically. And it's a good way to, first of all, practice question formation, but also to practice usually past tenses, so past simple or the other past tenses, like, you know, past continuous or past perfect, those tenses that we use to sequence events in the past, basically. And also the question forms that go along with those verb forms, all right? So kind of forming forming questions using different past tenses. So there's that kind of structural work. But also there's some pronunciation work in there as well, which is kind of like how you give intonation in questions. So things like, you know, normally when you ask a question, you'll have a certain type of intonation. So for example, when did you go? Like, when did you go to? So when did you go to New York? For example, when did you go? But also, sometimes that kind of question can be delivered with a different sort of intonation. It's like, when did you go? And when did you go is often used when someone has already answered the question before and you're repeating. Okay, so for example, I went to New York. Okay, and when did you go? I went in April, and then a couple of moments later. Sorry, when did you go? It was in April. Okay, right, thank you. All right. And also, you could just play around with sort of the attitude of being suspicious and how that affects the way that you ask questions and the intonation pattern, for example. You end up using things like tag questions. So it can be quite a good way of looking at whether your students are using tag questions or not. And then afterwards, you can sort of teach them tag questions and do practice. So tag questions are quite useful in this game because they allow you to be a bit suspicious. So you went to New York, did you? You know, that sort of thing. Or it was hot, was it? You know, it was hot, was it? Now, notice that I said it was hot, was it? Not it was hot, wasn't it? Now, that's because normally in a tag question, the tag is negative, right? Or the tag is basically inverted. So it was hot, wasn't it? Okay, so was and wasn't. But if you say it was hot, was it? There you kind of, that's a more of a challenging question. For example, you think it was hot and you want them to confirm that it was hot, okay? So it's not just like, so it was hot, wasn't it? And you want them to say yes, okay? That's the standard way. It wasn't hot, was it? Or it was hot, wasn't it? Or it was hot, wasn't it? Like, I don't know if it was hot. It was hot, wasn't it? But in this case, it was hot. It was hot, was it? That just has a slightly more suspicious feel to it. So it was hot, was it? Okay, that's interesting. So if you're sort of skeptical or suspicious, the tag question is not inverted. Imagine in a job interview, someone is looking at your CV and they say, so you worked in a restaurant for 2 years, did you? You worked in a restaurant for 2 years, did you? And that kind of means, apparently you worked in a restaurant for 2 years. I want you to tell me more because I'm a bit skeptical. Okay, so that's quite interesting. So yeah, you can use it to practice those tenses and different types of questions with different types of intonation. And so the way I usually do it is I'll start by explaining the game to them. I just say, okay, everyone, today we're going to do a speaking game. It's going to be a chance to practice using tenses or whatever. You might want to justify it with some grammatical purpose, or especially if it follows some like study that you've been doing. It's quite a good task and game that you can do as free practice for using question formation or any of the other grammar that I've just mentioned. So I come in and I say, okay, everyone, we're going to play a game. It's a game that I've played with my students a lot of times, and it's usually quite fun. My students enjoy it. Let's see if you enjoy it too. Now, the idea there is that you're suggesting to them, if you don't enjoy it, then you're not a fun group of people. You know, just by suggesting to them that other groups have had really lots of fun and found it very useful, you're suggesting to them that if they don't find it fun and useful, then they, you know, they're not a great group. So that kind of is a little bit of sort of mind control or encouragement to make them try and enjoy the game, you know, because it really works best if they get into it and try and enjoy it. So it find some way of encouraging them to really enjoy themselves and see it as a chance to practice language in a safe environment. Okay, so I then explain the rules of the game and say, okay, so it's called the lying game. In fact, I sometimes call this game by a different name. I call it I Know What You Did Last Summer. And that works with students because usually they don't know each other very well, and often they don't know what each other did last summer. So even you can just focus it on that context. What did you do last summer? Okay. And the game is called I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is quite fun because it's also the name of a horror film that you might know. So let's say you've presented it like that. So the game is called I Know What You Did Last Summer, and it's written on the board. Also known as the lying game. And you say, we're going to play a game. In this game, you can lie or you can tell the truth. It's up to you. And what I like about that is that sometimes people don't feel comfortable about lying, or they're not very good at inventing stories. And so you're giving them the option. If they can't come up with a crazy lie, they can just say something that's true. So it's quite easy to play this game, and it allows people to be creative or not if they don't want to be. And still enjoy the game. So you can lie or you can tell the truth. It's your choice. And we have to guess if you're lying or if you're telling the truth. Okay. And here are the rules. So you write these up. Rule, you know, step one, number one, you have to answer this question. What did you do last summer? So someone will ask you this question. What did you do last summer? And you can get them to repeat it. Just say, okay, can you repeat that? What did you do last summer? Okay, just get them to repeat it a couple of times just to get used to saying it. And then point two, it said you write this. You can tell the truth or tell a lie. Okay? Tell the truth or tell a lie. Now you might at this point want to go through some vocabulary like tell the truth, tell a lie, or to lie, or for example, he's lying, she's lying, she's telling the truth, I don't believe her. You know, she's quite convincing. It's just like also often you find that they look for the phrase, it's just instinct. It's just my intuition. Often when they're justifying their choice, they say they point to their chest and you can say, it's just my intuition. It's a gut feeling. So you can kind of explain those bits of vocab as well. What else? Stuff like the word gullible, as we had in this episode. So, you know, are you gullible? Are you difficult to convince? There's lots of language that you can also add into this as well and practice it a little bit. So, it's a long lesson, this. If you do it in the right way, you can justify spending an hour on this. So you've got, you can lie or you can tell the truth. And then part three is we ask you questions, or your partners ask you questions. lots of questions. And you've got to encourage them to ask lots. Imagine you're like a police officer or you're like a detective like Sherlock Holmes. You've got to try and ask as many questions as possible to get to the answer. You've got to find out if it's true or if it's a lie, okay? And you know, you just remind them that we're looking for all kinds of questions. It depends on the level of the group. You might want to just keep it simple and just say WH questions, you know, instead of encouraging them to use different forms. But if it's a higher level group, you can say, you can try tag questions. I want to hear different types of questions. You know, I want to, you're probably going to be suspicious and stuff like that. So part three. And then part four, and you, by the way, you leave a big gap on the board for part three because you're going to write loads of questions in there in just a few moments, all right? Part four is, then we guess, are you lying or are you telling the truth? Okay. And so we guess and we justify, we explain why. So I think you're lying because, and then you justify it. So I think you're lying because I don't believe what you said. Or I think you're lying because there was too much information. Or I think you're lying because I don't believe you. I think you're lying because you were laughing. I think you're lying because it's just my gut feeling, for example. All right. And then you explain the scoring system. If you get it right, if someone gets it right, they get 1 point. If they get it wrong, they get no points. But if someone gets it wrong, you get 2 points. So you need to explain that as well. Okay. And then for part three, so by the way, you might need to at that point demonstrate and go, okay, I'm going to demonstrate. I'll go first. Can someone ask me the question? And one of the students goes, okay, what did you do last summer? And you say, you have to prepare something. You know, you say, last summer I met Chad Smith, the drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I met Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they'll go, yeah, of course. And you go, Chad Smith, he's the drummer. He looks a bit like Will Ferrell, the actor. All right, you know who he is? Okay, so I met Chad Smith. This is a lie, by the way. But I met, or you can come up with something really ridiculous. Like I used to use something really ridiculous just to kind of take the pressure off a little bit. And I'd say, last summer, I went to the moon. And it's obviously a lie, you know, it's just a joke, but it just takes the pressure off. And so, okay, let's go with, let's have this one. I went to the moon with Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they're all convinced it's a lie. But then you say, okay, but ask me some questions. Your choice. You can go with something obvious and silly or something more difficult for them to work out. And then you just elicit loads of questions from the group. The why, who, when, how, where, and all of those sorts of things. All right. So try and get as many questions up on the board as you can using different question words. Try and get a wide range of different questions and elicit them. Correct their questions and write the correct versions up on the board. Okay, so that's like a little error correction exercise. Or you could write the questions as they say them to you. Even if they say them wrong, you write them up and you just elicit a bunch of sort of like half-baked, like slightly dodgy questions with bad grammar and a few mistakes. Some of them will be correct, some of them won't. You write them all up anyway. And once you've got a bunch of questions on the board, a fairly wide range, you've kind of helped to give them inspiration. At that point, you go, okay, error correction. And you say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 of these questions are wrong. And I want you to find the wrong questions. Go. And then you say, in pairs, you're a pair. You got 5 minutes or less. Find the 7 mistakes and correct them. Go. So then they huddle together with their partner and they go, what about question 2? Is that correct? Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah. Question 3 is definitely wrong because it's not present perfect. It's not when have you gone to the moon? It would be when did you go exactly? All right. And they have little conversations. And then after that, after a few minutes have gone by, you say, okay, so corrections. And you get the corrections from each student and you correct the questions up on the board there. And then you can do some vocabulary drills. Once you've got all the correct questions, you then lead the class through some drills where you go through each question. You know, when did you go? Who did you go with? What was it like? What did you see? How long did it take? All of that kind of stuff. With drills, you can start by drilling them with the questions visible. So you just show them the questions and say, when did you go? What did you do? And they do that. Do it as a group. Do it individually. Ask individuals to do them as well. And then what you can do is you can sort of remove some of the words on the board and ask them to continue the drills, but with missing words, and then add the words in afterwards. Or you can complete, you can just stand in front of the words so they can't see them and continue the drill. And that's usually a funny moment. Like, you're drilling, it's not too difficult because they can read the sentences. And then you go, okay, let's do it again. And then you stand in front of the all of the sentences, and they kind of go, oh, this is going to be difficult. I find drilling is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant, especially drilling when they can't read the sentences. Because when the students can read the sentences, they're in their comfort zone and it's a bit easy and they start switching off. And some of them, some of the more big-headed students, you get the impression they're like, oh, this is easy. Teacher, too easy. This is too easy, you know? And then you go, oh, too easy, is it? All right, then let's try this. And then you stand in front of the board and then they're like, okay, repeat it after me. And then you have to make them a bit complicated. You know, why did you go to the moon with Will Ferrell in a spaceship? And they have to say, why did you go to Will? Why did you go? It's difficult. Why did you go to the moon with Will Ferrell in a spaceship? And then you say, all right, that's good, but no pauses. And they have to go, why did you go to the moon with Will Ferrell in a spaceship? And they say, that's good, but say it again, no pauses. Why did you go to the moon with Will Ferrell in a spaceship? And they do it like that, you know? So lots of drills, even before you've played the game. Hopefully, if you're doing it in the engaging and interesting way, then they will pay attention throughout this and they won't get bored. And there's the promise of the game that's going to come. You know, and they hopefully they're starting to think of ideas and things while you're playing this, if they're good students and if they're concentrating and if all the timing is going right, you know. OK, so once you've done all that, then you can say, OK, now it's your turn. By the way, you need to still play the game, right? So you let them ask all the questions finally and you give your answers briefly. And then after a couple of minutes of demonstration of you talking about how you went to the moon with Will Ferrell or whatever your story is, you then give them the option. Do you think I'm lying or telling the truth? And of course, they'll go, you're lying. Why? Because it's ridiculous. Okay. And what about you? And they all say you're lying or whatever. And then at the end, you go, well, of course, it's a lie. And they all go, well, of course it was. What you can do at that point is go, okay, you got it. All of you got it correct. So you get, all of you get 1 point. I didn't convince any of you because you all got it correct. I get 0. Okay. If you'd said it was true, I would get 2 points, but you didn't. You said it was a lie. So I get nothing and you get 1 point. Okay. Right now. And then you put everyone into little groups of three, probably. If you've got 12 students, that's like four groups, something like groups of three. It can work in pairs, but it's better when there's at least three people. Four is okay. Five is a little bit too much because you tend to find some people dominate in a group of five and other people sit back and they're quiet. So three or four, that's best. And you say, okay, you're going to play the game. And first of all, you get them to write a score chart, a little score table, on the piece of paper. They write their names, so then you can say, okay, take turns, someone starts by answering the question, what did you do last summer, and then play the game, okay? And when you've finished, count the scores, let's see who's the winner. And then they go and they play the game. Now, good groups, students who are kind of motivated and willing to experiment and slightly outgoing, those good groups will sort of mess around with the game and they'll start playing it and they'll look at the question words on the questions on the board and they'll use them and they'll remember stuff and they'll use intonation and they'll hopefully be creative and have fun. And you can move around monitoring and just sort of listening to the stuff that they're saying and making corrections on the spot, helping out if necessary, you know, giving them a little bit of a creative push here and there. Writing down corrections in a notepad, which you can then write up on the board or give them as homework. And you just basically help to facilitate the exercise as you move around the room. And then at the end, as a whole group, you can say, so what happened? Who won? And, you know, you can kind of have a little feedback session where they explain who won the game and stuff like that. And as a follow-up, you can either give them error correction on the board or error correction as homework if you can photocopy your notes or put them onto like a Word document and send it to them on the internet or something like that. Or if you're using a Moodle, you can just publish the error correction on the Moodle or on your blog or whatever, and they can find it, print it, correct the mistakes, and bring it as homework tomorrow. Or another piece of homework would be that they write a description of their story. Okay, and they just sort of flesh it out into a story, basically, and they just write it. If you wanted, you could ask them to write it in the form of an email to a friend saying, "Oh, you'll never believe what happened to me," and then they write their story in the form of an email. Or alternatively, you know, if you're super creative and you've got the time and the technology, you could get them to record their stories separately. And then come back and play the recordings to each other, or they post their recordings onto the Moodle or the website that you're using for your class, and they can share their recordings. There's loads of stuff that you could make. They could make videos and things of their stories, and all sorts of stuff that you can follow that. Okay, you could go back into some of the grammar and do some more grammar work on past tenses based on some of the mistakes that you heard them making. If they couldn't use the past perfect or past continuous, or if they're getting ED endings all wrong or any other issue, you can then sort of like focus on it after listening to them play the game. Okay, so that's my like bit of advice for teachers on how to use the Lion Game in the classroom. And yeah, I guess I'm going to make a PDF that you can download, which has got the instructions on there. And they're simple instructions, you know, point one, point two, point three, and point four. Feel free to use it, teachers, but as Paul said in this episode, you might consider just helping me out, supporting me, because I'm being a bit generous. You could support me by just giving me a donation on my website if you think that my work is valuable and useful. Okay, right, so that's it. Okay, hello listeners, hello Lepsters, hello students of English. You might have felt like this bit wasn't for you, but I hope that you've enjoyed listening to that was like a conversation in the teacher's room that you just listen to, isn't it? Normally, English lessons happen in the classroom, and then the teachers disappear into the teacher's room, and you might wonder, what are they talking about in that teacher's room? What goes on behind that door? Well, a lot of the time, to be honest, the teachers are sharing ideas for lessons and helping each other out, think of new ideas. And that's one of the cool things about being a teacher, is that you spend time with other cool people. In my experience, most English teachers are pretty cool, laid back, quite creative, and nice people who make good conversation. So that's the sort of thing that you might have heard in the teacher's room, me explaining how to play the Lion Game. And I imagine other people would be like, the Lion Game? What's the Lion Game? I've you know, what's the lion? Does that involve big cats? It's no, not the Lion Game, the Lying Game. Oh, right, hilarious. Because, of course, English teachers are all absolutely hilarious people with really brilliant senses of humour. Of course they are. Thanks for listening to this episode. Leave your comments on the website. Consider making me a donation if you fancy it. Or take advantage of the Audible offer, where you can get a free audiobook. audibletrial.com/teacherluke. Or click one of the buttons on my website. I'm now going to stop talking. I will be back in your computer or in your phone or in your headphones or in your eardrums before too long. But for now, it's just time for me to close the episode by saying goodbye. Bye. Bye. Bye.